I'd like to read just a little bit to you from the book of Isaiah, chapter 28. If you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. Chapter 28 of the book of Isaiah. Let's read just a little bit in the 14th chapter, or rather the 28th chapter in the 14th verse. Wherefore hear ye the word of the Lord. I want to read this, and I want you to listen real close, if you will. I want you to listen real close to the words that we read tonight, will you? Wherefore hear ye the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death and with hell, are we all at agreement? When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the lion, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be disannual, and your agreement with hail shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. From the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you for morning by morning. It shall pass over by day and by night. And it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. For the bed is shorter than that a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrow than that he can wrap himself in it. For the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim. He shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his acts, his strange act. Now therefore be ye not mockers, lest your bands be made strong. For I have heard from the Lord God of hosts a consumption, even determined upon the whole earth. The prophet speaking warns the people of his day, as I have in my day and many other preachers have in this time, warned the people not to be mockers. You know, we're living in the day of scoffers and mockers. People mock religion in the day that we're living in, and they mock the way of righteousness in the day that we're living in. And if it doesn't fit the thing that they want to do, well, they just scorn it and they just push it aside. But here they had the same problem in the days of the prophets. And the prophet warned them, said, be ye not mockers, lest your bands be made strong, lest God fasten the bands of wickedness to you. Be ye not mockers, for said, I have heard something from God, and said, the message that I have received from God is that there's going to be a consummation of the whole earth. And surely it is true, not only in his day was the report true, but in our day even the more, there is a report from God that there's going to be a consummation of the whole earth. So then, it is a sad time. It is a sad moment. Though it looks like the world is flourishing, looks like everything's just right, looks like it's the greatest time that there's ever been on the face of the earth. But yet there's more death, there's more heartaches, there's more sorrows, there's more anxiety, there's more fears, there's more complex of life than at any time in the history of mankind. The reason for this is because man is coming into more knowledge and more knowledge. The Bible tells us that the knowledge of the Lord shall fill all of the earth and all of the heavens. Everything around us will speak out the knowledge of God. Even the day shall declare the knowledge of God. The stars shall declare the knowledge of God. And the Bible said the whole earth shall be filled with the knowledge of God. And you might say, Brother Pike, how is it that the stars can tell about God? But did you know that God being a spirit, that everything in this world is an allegoric type of the living God or of some act of creation of God? Everything. The stars, everything in this world testifies to the act of God. Everything in this world testifies to some invisible thing concerning God. And the Bible tells us all the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly understood by the things which do appear, even to the eternal Godhead, so that we are without excuse. Men fuss and feud over different things, but the Bible teaches that everything that pertains to God is very clearly understood, and there is nothing that is hid about God except the mysteries that God hid, that is to be made known by the stewards of God. Whereas Paul said, I am a steward of the mystery of God. Now, I know that everything in God is not just something simple. I know that people pass it off and they say, well, Brother Pine, everything about God is just something simple. It's not hard to understand. Anybody can understand it. It only takes a few days and you know all about it. But it's a positive proof in that kind of talk that they don't know anything about God and they don't understand God. For the Bible doesn't speak of it being simple at all. To the contrary, it says great is the mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery of godliness. And Paul said, I am made a steward of it. It took Paul 3.5 years in the Arabian desert to understand it. And there's a great mystery concerning God. And God wanting His people to understand the mysteries of Christ. But did you know in the average congregation, even here under the tent, or wherever I go, and most ministers that understand the mysteries of God, they cannot elaborate or talk about the mysteries of God because the average church member doesn't know anything about the mysteries of God. Did you know the average church member doesn't even realize that Paul the Apostle exhorted the church to contend for the revelation of the Spirit of Christ, which is the Spirit of revelation? The average church member doesn't even understand that. See, the Bible said that we should pray that God would grant unto us the Spirit of revelation. Is that right? Now somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, Paul was talking to sinners, people that don't understand. And he was trying to tell them to get the Spirit of Christ. That wasn't right. Why would God want to tell a sinner to get the Spirit of revelation? What would a sinner do with the Spirit of revelation? Is that right? And besides that, he said, pray that God will grant unto you the Spirit of revelation. And the Bible tells us that we know that God heareth not a sinner's prayer. That's the Bible. Is that right? So then he was talking to the church. He was talking to righteous people, saying that the church needs the Spirit of revelation. Hallelujah. Peter learned about God through revelation. See, God is a spirit. If God is a spirit, how am I going to learn about God unless it is something that is revealed to me? The Scriptures are of no private interpretation. Men wrote them as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Therefore, how can I privately interpret the Scriptures? I can't do it. See, that means I've got to have the Spirit of revelation. Do you have the Spirit of revelation tonight? Do you have the Spirit of revelation tonight? Men are fussing over the Godhead. Men are fussing over baptism. Men are fussing over theological issues. Always fussing and feuding. Do you have the Spirit of revelation tonight? Why, the average preacher doesn't even know what revelation is when you speak about revelation. Isn't that true? When you talk about revelation, they don't even know what you're talking about. The Spirit of revelation. So then what we need tonight is the Spirit of revelation. Hallelujah. If we can get turned on, as the world says, in Christ Jesus, and we can get in tune with heaven, and we can realize the need of the Spirit of revelation, and if we can call on God till the Spirit of revelation comes into the church, brothers and sisters, we're going to see things and hear things that we never dreamed existed. You know, it's no wonder that the youthful generation is falling after colleges and institutions of the world. It's no wonder, because they have something to offer them. Every day they've got a brand new subject. It might be science, it might be something else, but they've got a brand new subject. But brothers and sisters, when you get into the Spirit of revelation, now I don't mean this wrong, so you don't take it that way, but it makes the greatest seminary of the world look like grandma's rocking chair. You say, Brother Pike, you can't prove that. It's absolutely the truth. I've done put it to the test. I've done talked to some of the professors. It makes the greatest institutions of today look like grandma's rocking chair. When the youth of today get a hold of the Spirit of revelation and see the great things of God and what's taking place, they'll do just like Paul did. Paul said at the feet of Gamaliel was learning all the ways of the great men of that day. But when he learned about the Spirit of revelation, he said, I count all that as just dung, just waste. Just waste, he said. No comparison to it. So then what the church needs is the spirit of revelation. Now you say, Brother Pike, why do you say that the church needs the spirit of revelation? Because Paul was the Gentile apostle. He said, I'm the apostle to the Gentile church. I magnify my office. He was our apostle. And he was the one that said the church needed the spirit of revelation. Why did the overseer of the church say that the church needs the spirit of revelation if it doesn't need the spirit of revelation? There must have been a reason. Why is it that John, the revelator, in exile to a little island just over the coast of Asia Minor, about 96 A.D., over there all alone by himself? Why did God put him over there by himself? Why was he over there about 60 or 66 years after Calvary? Why is it that he's over there writing, viewing, or beholding the great spirit of revelation? Why is it that he, when he writes his book, at the very beginning of it, he said, the revelation of Jesus Christ, that God gave unto Christ to show to his servants? Is that right? That it might be revealed to the church. Why did he call it the revelation of Jesus Christ? Oh, my brothers and sisters, there are such great, wonderful things in the revelation of Jesus Christ. Such great things in the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul, being caught up to the third heaven, said, it was made known unto me the revelation. Isn't that right? Moses had to get away in a mountain before God could really talk to him. To show you how ignorant the people was in that day, down here in the valley, here's a little tent. Down here in the valley, here's Aaron. And down here in the valley, everybody is praising the little tent that's made out of skin. Up here on the mountain is the real tabernacle. Come on now. Up there on the mountain was Moses. Moses was the tabernacle of God. Not some skin down in the valley. But Moses was the tabernacle of God. The Bible tells us that you're the tabernacle of God. Our bodies are the temple of the living God. See? But they didn't understand. They didn't know. That was the real tabernacle up there. There was the real communication up there. Hallelujah. So then it's the same way today. We build buildings, we build cathedrals, we build campgrounds, we build all of these great things, and we fascinate the people by it. We keep the people's attention by it. But all the time, the real tabernacle of God is standing in the midst of them, which is the ministry of the body of Christ. Hallelujah! And they've got their minds on the materialistic values of the world. And they don't see what the Holy Spirit is doing in the real tabernacle of God. It's no wonder that John used these terms. Speaking of God, he said, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. Come on now. I said, John said, the tabernacle of God is among men. Where is it at? Somebody tell me where it's at. Where is the tabernacle of God? They've got one built over here in Gastonia. They've got one built in Charlotte. They've got one built in Georgia. They've got one built everywhere. But which one of them is the tabernacle of God? John said it's in the earth. Where is the tabernacle of God? Hallelujah. The Bible tells us God don't dwell in buildings made with hands. But he said, ye are the temples of the Holy Ghost, that God dwells in you. Hallelujah. You're the temple of the living God. You're the tabernacle of God. See, where is the tabernacle of God? John said, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. It's in the earth. In the days of Solomon, when Solomon built the tabernacle, it was a great thing. And the Lord said to Solomon, said, it shall come to pass that whoever looks in the direction of this tabernacle will receive something from God. Is that right? Let him call on the name of the Lord and look in this direction. And brothers and sisters, it's the same today as it was then. In the days of the apostolic church, when they got together, one of the apostles waxed bold. He stood up and said, brethren, I just got a revelation. Said, this agrees with what the prophet said. I will return in the last days, saith God. And I will build up the fallen down house of David. Isn't that right? I'll place my name upon it. Hallelujah. And so then he has returned to build up the fallen down house of David.
He has returned. Hallelujah. And today you're the lively stones built up into a holy priesthood, a habitation for God. But you know where the trouble is? The builders have rejected the cornerstone. Hallelujah. That's why they can't get the lively stone together. They've rejected the cornerstone. But Christ is the stone they've got to find. They've rejected the Word of God. Amen. Well, let me tell you something. When we come together, we can bind ourselves together. We can accept that great cornerstone. Behold, I lay in Zion a cornerstone, elect and precious. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. But they've rejected the cornerstone. They've rejected the cornerstone. All the stones must come together, beloved friend. All of them has to come together. Jesus looked at that great building while he was here on the earth. And they were so proud. The Jews were so proud of their building. And they said, Lord, it took so many years to build this great building. Jesus said, let me let you in on a secret. There is not one stone that will be left upon another. There shall come the day, Jesus said, when every one of these stones shall be cast down. Not one of them will be upon another. Isn't that right? Oh, they couldn't understand that. They couldn't understand that. But he said every one of them is going to be thrown down. But listen, Christian friend, there is another stone. There is another stone. There is another stone. Hallelujah. A lively stone. I will remember thee when I come to make up my stones. I will remember thee that spake often of me. I will remember thee. Hallelujah. When I come to make up my jewels. Stones of fire. The Bible said Satan walked amid the stones of fire. Did you know when the sons of God come to present themselves in the church that Satan also comes? Did you know he walks up and down in the midst of the stones of fire? Did you know that you're filled with the Holy Ghost and with the fire of the living God? And Satan walks up and down in the midst of you. Satan walks up and down in the midst of you and he admires you. He sees those brilliant, bright stones as a thief admires the stones. So he admires your radiance and seeks to steal, seeks to take you into captivity. Hallelujah! But the Christ of heaven is watching. Glory to God. The goodman of the house knows what time the thief is coming. He's watching. He's watching and he's waiting. Lively stones built up into a holy priesthood. And what is it going to take to put them together? Jesus said these stones have been daubed with untempered man-made mortar. Theology, ideas, doctrines, disciplines, man-made theory. But he said the stones are not going to hold together when the earthquake comes. When the great shaking from God comes, they won't hold together. But there is a charity. There is a mortar. A charity from God that will bind you together. Hallelujah. The love of God constrained it to be, Paul said. There is a love. There is a charity. A mortar of charity that will bind one stone to another. You know, you can take a man and a woman. You can marry them. The preacher can say, you're now man and wife. You can put them before the judge and they can say, now they're man and wife. But brother, when the riffraff comes, when the earthquake comes, when the shaking comes, they're going to split up. They're not going to stay together. Did you know that? The words of the judge is going to be nothing. The words of the preacher is going to be nothing. All of the vows of each other is going to be nothing. They can vow to one another, but it's going to be nothing. But my friend, when love comes in, hallelujah, if you love that little woman and married her because you love her, and if she loves you and she married you because she loves you, there's nothing that's going to separate you. Death will never pull you apart. Not even death can separate you. Many companions have gone on to meet God, but other companions have refused to marry. Other companions have refused to ever have another companion. Isn't that right? Why? Because they love their companion so much that they feel they could never be happy with anyone else. I'm talking about the love of God. Brother, when you get to where you love me and I love you and we love each other and we forget about disciplines and doctrines and everything but the Word of God, and we come together and forget about ideas and all the theology of mankind. But we just bind ourselves together with God's Word and come together in a unit. Come together with the Spirit of God. Come together in a unit for Christ Jesus. Brother, you talking about a time, what a time that will be. Hallelujah! The Bible said on the day of Pentecost, they were in one mind, all in one spirit, one accord. Just one mind, the mind of Christ. Just one mind, one accord, just one accord. What accord was it? Not to build a church or a campground or anything else. Just one accord. What accord was it? One accord was to do the will of God. And the Bible said the Spirit of God came like a mighty rushing wind. When the church gets together, there's going to be a revival. When the church gets together, there's going to be a mighty shaking. When the church of the living God comes together, the glory of God's going to fill the temple. The Bible tells us that when Solomon built that temple, that after it was built, then the smoke of his train filled the temple until the pillars were moved. Glory to God, that's wonderful, isn't it? God said, he that overcometh, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. You let the Holy Ghost get to coming just right and everybody get together and the pillars begin to move. You ever notice that? Hallelujah! I said the power of God and the glory of God begins to move the pillars in the temple. Hallelujah. Some people are pillars in God's temple. They hold up the church of the living God in this world. He said, I will make you a pillar in the temple of my God. There are some people that's a pillar in this world. You can't move them. They hold up God's temple in this world. They're a testimony for Christ and you can't shake them. Hallelujah. They've been standing there like Jacob and Boaz. You know the great pillars over there that they put up called Jacob and Boaz. Them great big pillars standing there, they're like pillars in the temple of the living God. Hallelujah. So then what we want to do is get together. We want to get together. Hallelujah. What a time, what a thing when the church of the living God gets together. You know what's keeping apart? Ideas, theology. Come on now. Doctrines and disciplines. They said, Jesus, why do you transgress the teachings of the elders? Jesus said, why do you transgress the commandments of God? They said, you transgress the teachings of our elders. Jesus said, you transgress the commandments of my Father. Isn't that right? Why do you do that? Why do you teach for commandments the tradition of men? Why do you do that? Amen. I want the Word of God. I want the Spirit of God. It's going to take God's Spirit. It's not by power, not by might, but it's by God's Spirit. It's going to take God's Spirit to do the job. It's going to take God's Spirit to build this temple. We're coming into a peace age. Everybody's going to begin to sign peace pacts. See, there has to be a natural to forerun the spiritual. There's fixing to be a peace pact signing. All of the nations of the world, everybody's going to begin to sign up for peace, you know. You know, man and wife's getting at peace. Did you know that? Sure. A man and woman's begin to get at peace. It took them a long time, but the man's begin to say, you go with who you want to, and I'll go who with who I want to. I'll do my thing, and you do your thing, and I'll drink and come home at 1 in the morning. You can come home at 2. It don't make no difference to me. Let's just get along. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody else says to a young lady, there ain't no need of us marrying. If we marry, we can't live off of the welfare. And besides that, if I'm married and we get 1 or 2 children, you might decide you want another boy, and then you'll sue me, and I'll have to take care of you. And if I ain't going to live with you, I ain't going to take care of you. So we'll just live together and won't even marry. We'll be at peace with each other. Come on now. What is it? A sinful, adulterous generation, Jesus said. That's what it is. It's a sinful and adulterous generation. Jesus said this would happen just before the coming of the Lord, didn't he? Just before Christ comes back, he said this would take place. See, it's happening in the world today, beloved friend. It's happening. People are making all kinds of mutual agreements. Russia and America can make an agreement, but the Bible said their agreements will not stand. One of them will make an agreement just to undermine the other one. Isn't that right? There is no such thing as making an agreement with the devil. How do you believe that? You can't make an agreement with the devil. You go out here and you tell a thief, say, I'm going to tell you where all my money's hid. I want to make an agreement with you. That way you'll know about it. All you got to do is just tell me that you won't bother it. So the thief said, well, you can count on me. And you can. All you got to do is just tell him where the money's at. Now, do you think your agreement's going to stand with a thief? The Bible said Satan is a devil. He's a thief. He's a robber. God gives you a little boy, a little girl. Satan robs you of that life. God gives you virtue, young lady. Satan robs you of that virtue. Why is it that the devil wants to take all the virtue out of the world? It's because God cannot live in an unvirtuous world. Paul said, if anything have any virtue in them, think on these. He spoke of the 10 virgins at the midnight cry. He said a virtuous woman's price is far beyond that of rubies. She's a crown to her husband's head, speaking to the church. Isn't that right? But why does the devil won't get rid of all the virtue? Because if the virtue is taken out of the world, God cannot stay in this world. Satan will have control of this world. He will turn it into his own sovereignty. If he can just get the virtue out of it. If he can pollute every young lady that comes. Every young man. If he can pollute all the minds. If he can get all the virtue out of it. Then he's got it. That's why he wants bastard children running everywhere without a father. Don't know who the dad is. That's why he's doing the things that he's doing. Is because he don't want any virtue in the world. And some of you might not like me for this, but that's why you got these topless clubs up here on the left and on the right. If you was a real man and you was a real woman, you'd bind together and you'd get those devil holes out of this country. Come on, folks! You say, Brother Pike, we can't do it. I'll tell you what, Grandma and Granddaddy knowed how to do it. Sometimes they had to ride them out of town on a rail, but they got the job done. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't uphold force because I know it's wrong. But I remember down in Georgia when a governor got in that they didn't want down there. And they asked him to leave and he didn't leave. So they gently asked him to leave at the end of a pitchfork. All the farmers got together. Now you say, Brother Pike, are you introducing to us arms and force? I'm not saying that. We'll do that in Revelation 19 when we come back on the white horses. And the blood will run up to the horse's bridle. That's when we'll use the real sword. The natural sword, as you call it. That's when there'll be blood up to the horse's bridle. That's when for 1,600 furlongs or 200 miles across the valley, everywhere, there'll be blood in the valleys, in the ditches. And God will literally kill this bunch of hippies, dope addicts, sex fiends. Destroy these evil clubs, topless clubs, drunkards clubs, all of these pig holes of the world. Somebody say amen. Glory to God. That's what they are. Jesus said the swine returned back to their wallowing in the mire. Somebody was telling me today how that an individual that they knew making plenty of money will go down to those topless clubs and give some of them $100 just to sit there and talk to him. Just to talk to him. You understand what I'm saying? Brother, get together. Stand up for God. Be somebody. Be something. Stand up for God. Have a backbone like a saw log and do something for God. Somebody said, what can little old Weasley me do? Like a feller said one time, he's preaching. He got in a big waist and somebody said, well, I'm just a little old worm. I can't do nothing. He said, the devil knows that. And the first news you know, he'll put you on his hook and go fishing with you. Amen. But we're not worms. We're sons and daughters of God. We're not a bunch of fiends. A man can have a wife and a wife can have a husband. What do you want with a bunch of prostitutes running up and down the road and a bunch of topless clubs around? Only devils enjoy that kind of thing. Praise God, if about 500 of you ladies would drop down to the topless club and tell them you come to pay them a visit, I'll guarantee there'd be some ladies that'd leave town. You say, oh, the police would get me. I talked to a policeman the other day, said it pleased him well if something like that happened. He put it a little bit different. Said, you need to get rid of the things in Charlotte. It makes it bad for them. You love Jesus? Amen. Hallelujah! Let's stand up for God! And let's do something for the Lord Jesus Christ! Let's just don't pass things off anyway. Let anybody do us any old way. I said last night, don't let this woman come to Charlotte up here that's taken prayer out of the schools and cause everything to go wrong up here. Don't do that. You stand up like a man and you stand up like a woman. Somebody said, well, I'm afraid, Brother Pike, I'll get killed. I tell you what, there's a lot of women and men lost their lives in the dark ages. Did you know that? They stood up for Christ. They spilled their blood. Hallelujah. Found a better resurrection. You say, is there a better resurrection? There sure is. The Bible said the wicked lived not again until after the 1,000 years was finished. Is that right? They come forth to the second resurrection, which is the second death, the lake of fire. But there's the first resurrection, and the Bible said, blessed and holy is he that hath part in it. It's a better resurrection. Hallelujah. We can escape the evils and damnation of this world and come to a place, hallelujah, to where we can have a better resurrection. We can be found in the first resurrection. Do you love Jesus? All right. So then the Bible said, don't mock, ye mockers. Lest God make your bands tighter. For I've heard a word from God. He said there's a consummation that's determined upon the whole earth. There is a consummation coming upon this whole earth. Fine brimstone going to rain down from heaven. Hallelujah. That's right. Hallelujah. Thank God it is. One day God's going to rid this country of all of these evils. You say, Brother Pike, you talk like you just like to see folks go up in flames. I don't want to see a one lost. I'd like to see everyone come to repentance and have everlasting life. But it'll be a day of rejoicing when God sets the fire to the devils. Amen. Like Samson when he tied them foxes together and lit that fire over there and let them go through them fields out there and burn them up. I long for the day when God will stick the firebrands. Hallelujah. And the devils and demons will be on the run. Glory to God, they've troubled good mothers. They've troubled good fathers. They've caused many a mother to shed a tear. They've caused many a little child to suffer. There's little children in braces. There's little children that's born in deformities. God said, I will curse your blessings. I've cursed them already. Isn't that right? I will curse the fruit of the womb. Even in this day, there's little children born because mothers want to suck on weeds, because they want to turn to dope, because they want to turn to drink, because they want to frolic, not take care of their bodies. All of these things little children are having to suffer because mothers don't have any fellowship with God. And daddies could care less because they're wrapped up with some topless club. Hallelujah. I love Jesus, don't you? Praise God, stick the firebrand to them. And watch the foxes run. Hallelujah. That's what the church needs to do. Stick the firebrands to them. If we don't stick it to them, God's going to stick it to them. Hallelujah. So then, God is trying to get his church together. As long as you fuss about being Methodist and I fuss about being Baptist and they fuss about being Pentecostal and the others fuss about being Catholic, we ain't never going to get together. What we need to do is tear down those middle walls of partition and get them things out of the way and look and see if it's a brother and get together with a brother. Hallelujah. And unite in the strength of God. You know when they nailed Jesus to the cross, if you remember, when they nailed him to the cross, they tried to divide his garment, didn't they? I can just picture him and somebody said, now you get out of the way. This is the Baptist over here. Glory to God, this is our part. And somebody said, you ain't going to take the Catholic's part. Come on now. Amen, that's not going to be your part. And I said, well, I'm sorry, I'm going to look out for the Methodists. My grandpa and granddaddy was a Presbyterian. But after a while, when they got through fussing, the Lord Jesus moved in and the people of God moved in. They picked up the garments. There ain't no seams in this. Brother, there ain't but one move. That's the Christian move. That's the Christian move. Everyone like Christ. Hallelujah. First called Christians at Antioch and been Christians ever since. Ain't nothing but the Christians. As long as this man looks to his quarter for his gain and I look over here for my gain and you look over there for your gain, we're going to be divided up. But when we get out of that kind of thing and get in one mind, the mind of Christ, one accord, the accord of God, one will to do the will of God, then we're going to come together. Boy, when we do, the deacon's going to have a fit. Somebody say, I love Jesus. The pastors is going to do a cartwheel. Amen. Cadillacs is going this way and everything's going that way. And they're going to say, what happened to my sheep? Whoever told you that there was your sheep to start with? The Bible said when the chief shepherd appears, all of them will go to him. Hallelujah, that's Jesus. Whoever told you there was your sheep anyway?
The Bible said, woe unto that shepherd that feeds himself and don't feed the flock. Said, I'll take them shepherds down and I'll put shepherds up after my own heart. Didn't he say that? Hallelujah. They want to keep you coming so that they can keep you on the payroll. Come on now. Hallelujah. You say, payroll. I don't mean to pay you, but for you to pay them. That's right. Some preachers will preach up here to you and they'll just about have break their neck to get back there at the door so that they don't miss the one. God bless you, dear. God bless you, dear. And if you look pretty good, they'll God bless you twice, dear. And stand there and hold your hand until the husband gets upset. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Amen. Praise God. If that's what the call to the ministry is, I miss my calling. Amen, because my wife don't approve of that. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now I'm telling you tonight, folks, everything's got in a mixed up condition. But what God wants us to do is live for Him. You know, did you know you might get killed being a Christian? Did you know that? Did you know while I'm up here preaching, somebody liable to shoot me? Wouldn't that be wonderful? I mean, what could be greater? Somebody say, if he cut down on your time or two, it wouldn't be so wonderful. Be just as wonderful as it is while I'm talking about it. A shortcut to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. I've had them after me with guns and knives and everything else. And they thought sure I was going to run, but I didn't. They got disappointed and decided not to even shoot me. It wouldn't even be any fun. You know, just shoot a rabbit standing still, that ain't no good, is it? Somebody kick him a little bit and let him get out across the field. At least get a little sport out of it. Devil wants a little sport out of it. But I tell you what, when we come together, children of God, and we love God, when we're willing to lay down our lives for Christ and go with God, God will bless the church. But if we're going to get like the church of yesteryear, we're going to have to fast. We're going to have to pray. We're going to have to get down to business with God. We're going to have to study the Bible. Have to call on the name of Jesus. Isn't that right? I just got a word from heaven. Everything's going to be all right, the song I said. You believe it? You believe it? What's mine? What is the ball? Everything's all right. Jesus still on the throne. What of the night watchman? Everything's all right. Jesus still on the throne. Jesus still on the throne. Hallelujah. All right. So I say again, we need the spirit of revelation. Why do we need the spirit of revelation, Brother Pike? Because it's going to take the revelation of Jesus Christ to translate the church. Somebody would say, well, I'm waiting for the rapture. That's good. But there's a whole lot of things to be done before that thing you call the rapture takes place. Did you know that? Somebody said, don't you believe in a rapture? In the first place, the word rapture is not a biblical application. That's an intellectual PhD application. That's not biblical application. There's no such word. You understand? Just like millennium, there's no such word. You take the letter M and come up with 1,000 and get 1,000 years out of it, which means millennium. But I'm talking about terms of Bible speech. I'm talking about what the prophet said. You say, now wait a minute, Brother Pike. You mean to tell me that you don't believe in the rapture? I didn't say that. I tell you what I do believe in. Paul said there's a change from glory to glory. From faith to faith. It's from revelation to revelation. I believe in that change. As the song said, the light of the glory of His unveiled face, it's changing me. I believe in changing from faith to faith. I believe of inspiration from word to word, from gospel to gospel. Amen. I believe that God is changing us into the marvelous image of His Son. You say, what about the rapture? Thessalonians speaks of a time after the change. Come on now. After the change. What does the word rapture mean? Caught up. You say, well, you don't believe we're going to be caught up? I believe there's going to be a whole lot of things done and finished before the catching up. Is that right? The Bible teaches the dead in Christ shall rise first. Is that right? That's before your rapture. That's before you're catching up. That's before you're sailing away in the air. Is that right? Thessalonians moment. Change instantaneously. Corruptible to incorruptible. Mortal to immortality. Is that right? Terrestrial to celestial. Is that right? There's a lot of things that's going to take place, beloved friend. You've got to change from glory to glory into the marvelous image of God, from faith to faith into the marvelous image of God. Then after all of that is finished, when everything is finished, and we stand there
when it's all finished, then we'll look out there and up will pop the dead in Christ. Then somebody can say, hallelujah, we made it. Let's catch that trip with the rapture. Let's catch that train. It's going out. Hallelujah. But if you don't make it, if you don't change from glory to glory, if you don't change from faith to faith, I'll tell you what, you can start in school and you might start in the kindergarten and you might go to the first grade and you might get to the seventh. You might make it on to the eighth, but I'll tell you what, if you drop out, you're not going to get no diploma at the end of the way. Somebody said, bless God, I went to school just like you did, but you didn't get no diploma, did you? You know why? Because you was a dropout. Amen. If all the invisible things of God are understood by those natural things, then if you become a dropout, you need to look to make it in the rapture. You sit around here and just glutton and eat and drink and have a good time and let everybody else carry the load. Don't help to win souls. Don't fast. Don't pray. Don't do nothing to lighten the load. You are going to go to hell. You're going to the lake of fire. And you're not going to make it in the rapture. Somebody say amen. Amen. There's no way for you to make it through. You're going to have to do something. The Bible said, be about your Father's business. Isn't that right? Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Come on, folks. I'm talking about old time salvation. Holy Ghost living. I'm talking about the kind that will take you up in the rapture. We sang that song, I'm going to be caught away in the rapture. Are we really going to be caught away in the rapture? Somebody said, you just wait and see. I'm going up here to live with God. Well, that's fine. I'm going to live with Him down here. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Give me time to get a drink of water, will you? Hallelujah. Like a woman praying one time, they kept saying, fill her, fill her. Somebody said, don't do no good. She leaks, she leaks. That water just runs out. Just runs out. You understand what I'm saying? All right, now let's look at it for just a minute. Are we really going to go in the rapture? Are we really going to make it? Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, there's one thing that I'm sure of. I'm going to be with God in heaven. I'm going to live in heaven. But there's one thing for sure. I'm going to live right down here with God. And why do you go up there? He's going to come down here with me. Now, if you don't watch out, you're going to miss Him. Because while you're going to pray, He's going to be coming down here with me. Now somebody said, now where do you get that? The Bible said in New Jerusalem descended out of heaven and sat down upon the new earth. Amen. Come on now. While you go up there looking for heaven, heaven's coming looking for me. Amen. Jesus said to seek and to save that which is lost. Glory to God, He's just going to clean this old earth up down here and sit down on this earth. You know, a lot of people, they teach that this earth right here. They say, well, Brother Pike, this earth right here, that it's going to change right here. This earth is going to change in the 1,000 years, millennium is going to be on the new earth. How many of you know that's not Bible? How many of you know that's not right? When somebody tells you that the 1,000 years, millennium reign is going to be on the new earth, they're wrong, brother. There ain't no Bible for that. The 1,000 years, millennium is going to be in the restored earth. Amen. The Bible said, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby thou art sealed unto the day of redemption, the day of restoration. Of all things, which is the millennium. God's going to change this world right back to the garden that it was in the days of Adam. Have you know in the days of Adam it had some dust on it? Because the Bible said God made Adam out of the dust. A lot of people think of Eden and all they think of is the garden. But the Bible said the garden was in the east of Eden. Isn't that right? They said more to Eden outside the garden. The Bible said God made Adam out of the dust. From the dust thou art, to the dust thou shalt return. If you don't make that change. So then it's on this restored earth, Christian friend. See, this very earth is just going through a bad period of government. That's right, about 6 or 7 years of bad government. Antichrist is going to rise up. And then after that, God's going to shake the mountains and shake this earth till the cities crumble to the ground. You say, Brother Pike, what's going to cause that? Would you listen long enough for me to tell you? What happened in the garden? The Bible teaches that man fell away from God. Isn't that right? What happened in the garden? Man fell away from God. Didn't he do it? What happened to him? He got tilted on his axis. Didn't he? He got tilted on his axis. Got away from that Shekinah glory. He began to look at things sideways. Didn't he? Like my little boy told a little girl the other day. He's talking to her and said, she said, talking about church, he said, do you know the Lord? Yes. Said, do you read the Bible? Said, yes. Said, well, you must read it cross-eyed.
The way she explained it, you know.
So things didn't look right to Adam, isn't that right? They didn't look exactly right. He was tilted on his axis. That's why God let the world get tilted on its axis by the flood. That's why God did it. See, physical world tilted on its axis, natural world tilted on its axis. Not only that, but even the spiritual world had to get tilted on its axis. Amen. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, one part of it had to turn dark and be made sin to tilt the world of the Spirit on its axis. Is that right? How many of you still want to say it? That's what caused the mountains to go down to the sea. That's what caused the mountains to be out of the sea that we look at today. And what did old brother John see when he saw the revelation? Glory to God, he saw the time when we would conquer death. Is that right? He saw the time, hallelujah, when death would be conquered and when evil would be done away with. Is that right? Saw that hour. And John saw when man flew back upright on his axis. Come on now. I said man began to walk upright. Hallelujah. He began to have that hot noonday sun coming right straight down and the devil under his feet. Isn't that right? Say, get behind me, devil, because we're looking at it sideways. But after a while, when he gets up there just right, we'll just put him under our feet. And the Bible said we'll tread the ashes of the wicked under our feet. Is that right? So then old brother John was looking, and all of a sudden, Adam got upright. Man got upright. He'd been crooked for a long time, but he sprang upright. When he did, everything had to follow. Glory to God, everything in the earth began to spring upright. Is that right? Everything in the earth began to spring upright. And all them mountains that went down under the sea began to come up. And John said, behold, I saw the mountains move out of their places. I saw the islands move out of their places. All them mountains and islands that's up out of the water because of the fall all of a sudden went down in the water. All of those that's fertilized down there that can make the desert blossom like a rose begin to come up out of the waters. And the world went into a convulsion. Man stood upright before God. The earth had to stand upright. Not only that, but it hit the heavens and the tilt up there got straightened out. And the Son of God that had been made sin all of a sudden become the chief ruler of heaven. And the devil went out on his head. Somebody say, I love Jesus. And a third part of the angels went out with him. Hallelujah. And everything began to straighten up. And there was a great convulsion and the shaking and earthquake was so bad that the city of New York, the skyscraper, began to fall. That great building in New York began to crumble down. Amen. All of those great buildings around the world, John said, I saw them crumble to the ground. The high places was made low and the low places come up. You understand what I'm saying? What was that for? That was to bring in the millennium. When that comes back up, it's going to go back to the garden. See, because when it comes up like that, it's going to blossom like a rose. Somebody said, God hid that garden. Where did he hide it? When he put it into a convulsion, she just laid away for a while. Come on. When he gets ready, just bring her right up. Hallelujah. Set her up and she'll be so lovely. Glory to God. Is that right? The restored earth that God is speaking of. The restored earth. That's where we'll dwell 1,000 years with him. But listen, that ain't enough. After that 1,000 years on this restored earth, all of a sudden the Bible teaches that John looked. Satan was loose for a little while out of his prison, went about to deceive the seed of the earth, Gog and Magog with him. Gathered themselves against New Jerusalem, fire come down out of heaven, Peter spoke of it, and God began to devour even the restored earth to the intent that he began to translate. Isn't that right? Old brother John, after 1,000 years, said, I looked and behold the great white throne of judgment. From whose eyes the whole earth fled away. The mountains fled away. The ocean fled away. Everything fled away. Is that right? How many of you know that in this earth that you call the new earth, that is just the restored earth? Somebody say, how can you prove that? There are going to be graves here during the millennium. Oh, and there's somebody there. Wait a minute now, Brother Pye. I said, there are going to be graves here during the millennium. You say, where do you get that? The Bible said after the 1,000 years, the grave gave up its dead. There's going to be ocean here doing the restored. Did you know that? Where do you get that? The Bible said in the ocean gave up its dead. Hell's going to be around during the millennium. Because the Bible said after that, hell gave up its dead. How do you know that hell's not eternal? Hell's not eternal. The Bible teaches that God didn't make it for mankind. But in the time of his anger, he made it for the devil and his angels. Isn't that right? You say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me you don't believe hell's forever? I didn't say that. I said it's not eternal. How can you prove it's not eternal? Because the Bible said after the 1,000 years millennium that God took hell and cast it into the lake of fire. That was the end of hell. Come on now. Somebody would say, well, I knew that fire wasn't going to be from now on, but that isn't what the Bible said. I believe it's the book of Jude, and the Bible speaks of the eternal flames. Is that right? It don't speak of the forever flame that you can speak away by saying that spaces of time and take some great or intellectual application and speak it away. It says eternal. Somebody said, well, that don't mean eternal. Then eternal life don't mean eternal. If I can't trust the word eternal to mean eternal for that, I can't trust it to mean eternal life. Where are we going, folks? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And the Ancient of Days said, the Bible said, nothing could stand before him. The light was so bright, all of the earth fled away. Everything fled away. Then John said, I saw a new earth. There's your new earth. See, Jerusalem, New Jerusalem, don't even come around for 1,000 years. Isn't that right? Don't even come around for 1,000 years. But after that 1,000 years, after that God has restored everything, you know, you build your foundation, you polish your floor, you hang your pictures on the wall. Isn't that right? You put the windows in the house, you put the furniture in, and then you lock it. So then God restores everything, every species that was ever lost. And then after he restores it, what does he do? He transformates it into a celestial world to where not one hair of your head will ever be lost again. Never be any of his creation lost anymore. Isn't that right? That's what he's going to do. That's the new earth. That's when John said, I beheld new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, sitting down upon the new earth. Is that right? So then we will rule and reign with him 1,000 years on this restored earth. Someone said, well, what about the rapture? Here we go. Noah's Ark just said, right up and right over and right back down. Isn't that right? Just before that 7 years, that tribulation period, that sweeping power of the Holy Ghost picks him up, and the Son of God is caught up to the throne, and the Bible said the man child is caught up to the throne. Up he goes to the throne. That is, they picked him up before tribulation, rides him right over that flood of tribulation, and sets him down here in the throne of David on this earth, in the restored earth, hallelujah, and makes him to rule with a rod of iron. Is that right? You love Jesus? Glory to God, there's something good coming for the saints. You say, how far away is it? Even if tribulation was here, it wouldn't be about 7 years. Praise God. I'm glad I don't have to wait as long as I thought I did. You want to stand with me? Hallelujah. What a day that shall be when my Savior I shall see. When I look upon his face, he who saved me by his grace. Hallelujah. When I take a hold of his hand and he leads me to the promised land. What a day, what a day, what a glorious day that shall be. While they're coming to the instruments, I want you to remain standing just for a moment. And I know I've kept you a long time tonight, but I appreciate your kind attention. Appreciate your reverence and respect for the house of God. I sincerely appreciate the warm welcome that I've received in Charlotte. Every congregation that we've had, every one of them has been very reverent. And I've had only two or three at the most to go out and... When a person is vile and wretched enough to walk out and insult the living God while he's talking through his ministry, there's something wrong. And to prove that that's true, I said the other night something was wrong with them people. Somebody came to visit with me today and told me of one of them that walked out. I don't run off and leave me now. You know, a lot of folks run off and leave you before they ever find out what you got to say. They don't know whether you're right or wrong. They don't ever give you a chance to explain it. Isn't it right? But you know why this one fellow left? He felt like that I didn't believe that, now listen, that a woman just could marry one time and a man could marry as many times as he wanted to. That's what he believed, and he perceived I didn't believe that. Said a man can marry just as many women as he wants to, but that woman, she but not dare marry but one man. So he took off. And somebody said, well, wait a minute, I'm in agreement with him. Well, I'd love to know one thing. I'd love to know where you get a doctrine like that. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, that's what Jesus taught. You don't find where Jesus ever taught any such as that. No such thing as that. Said, well, David had all the wives he wanted. David suffered. David suffered untold agony because of his sins. Somebody said, well, I don't think David sinned. Well, the Bible said, thou shalt not commit adultery. He had the law in his day. He had all the wives he wanted anyway. Solomon did too.
Solomon paid for it too. As far as we know, Solomon fell away in his old age. Isn't that right? What about David? David was driven off of the throne, and the Bible said that his wives committed harlotry before all Israel right there on the housetops. His own son drove him off of his throne. He had to dwell in the wilderness. His own daughter was raped. His own son was killed. One murder right after another. One heartache right after another. Lost the throne. He paid for his evil. Some of these cunning preachers say, well, I'm a man after God's own heart like David. I just slip. David understands, or God understands, and I'm just like David. If you are, brother, you're in for some bad times. That's all I got to say. You be a man after God's own heart and be like David. Let God set your fields on fire. And you want to be a man like Jesus' heart, and you'll forget about David. That's right. You better pattern your life after Jesus, not David. David went through the fire. Come on. Hallelujah. All right. So then what we need to do is take Jesus for our example. Every other prophet made a mistake somewhere. Every other man made a mistake somewhere. What you need to do is take Jesus as your example. Isn't that right? You say, well, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that I can't follow any of the preachers? Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Isn't that right? What does he mean by that? Follow me as I follow Christ. You ought to be following somebody. You better follow somebody. Follow me as I follow Christ. When I fast, you fast. When I pray, you pray. Come on. Follow me as I follow Christ. When I walk right and live holy, you walk right and live holy. Somebody said, yeah, you're taking God's sheep away from Jesus and you're taking them to yourself. No, to the contrary, I'm taking them away from the devil and leading them to Jesus. Every time they fast, every time they pray, every time they live right, getting closer to God. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? All right. All right. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we, Christian friend? I love you tonight. I appreciate you. I want to help you. If I can help you, I want to help you. And I want to do all I can for you. The time is at hand. The Bible said, he that is just, let him be just still. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. Isn't that right? If you're going to be wicked, there's nothing I can do about it. If you're going to be unrighteous, there's nothing I can do about it. But if you want to do right, I'm here to help you and show you the way. Hallelujah. You say, where's the way? Jesus said, I'm the way. I'm the way. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm the way. No man can get to the Father except by me, Jesus said. Isn't that right? He testified to that. Praise God. Isn't that right? Moses testified of me, Jesus said. They said, we're Moses' disciples. Said, if you'd have known Moses, you'd have loved me because I was the one he was talking about. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. You know, if I say this, I know that you'll think I'm vainly puffed up by my fleshly mind. That's why I don't say a lot of things that I could say. And a lot of times ministers don't say things they could say. Because I say this, and you don't understand. But I say this, folks, that if the people of Charlotte knew why I was here tonight, the mayor would be out tonight. Not only that, but Jimmy Carter dropped down for the meeting too. Oh, somebody said, now wait a minute, don't have to. Know where I'm going, know where I've been, and know where I'm at. If the people of Charlotte understood tonight, or the people around in the distance knew why that we're here tonight, you couldn't park a car within a radius of 100 miles, trees everywhere that they could get a car parked. You'd be fortunate if you could park one within the radius of 100 miles. But you see, God knows best. He knows best. He knows best. But I tell you one thing, it's time to get in touch with heaven. It's time to get in touch with heaven. Just take my word for it. It's time to get in touch with heaven. Something's on the main line. Something's taking place. Get in touch with heaven because something's on its way. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands for just a minute and love Him. Let's lift our hands up and love Him. Hallelujah. Father of heaven, tonight we're thankful for your presence. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Understanding tonight, Jesus, your loving presence in wonderful way and wonderful will. We ask in the name of Jesus, Father, that you visit this people tonight. Father, that you visit this area tonight. And dear God, that your Spirit be here tonight. In a magnificent way, Jesus. Father, that sick bodies would be healed tonight.
Father, that demon spirits would depart tonight. And Father, the anointing would break the yoke tonight. Father, that everyone could go free. Hallelujah. That your spirit, Jesus, could be present here tonight. God, heal and save and forgive. Oh, mighty God of heaven. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Have your way tonight, mighty God of heaven. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Have your way in Jesus' name tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. Oh, they shall walk and never faint. Just teach me, Lord. Oh, teach me, Lord, to wait. Can you sing it again? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. Oh, they shall run and not be weary. Oh, they shall walk and never faint. Just teach me, Lord. Oh, teach me, Lord, to wait. While they're playing on the instruments tonight, I wonder, while they're playing tonight, if you're here and need a touch from God, I wonder if you'd just step out tonight. Maybe you need a touch in your body. Maybe you need salvation for your soul. Maybe you need the yoke broken from off of you. Maybe you need the demon spirits driven away so that you can have peace. Hallelujah. Peace from God. All the paths of God are peace. Serving God's peace. If you don't have peace tonight, you might belong to a church, beloved friend. But if you don't have peace tonight, you're not serving God. Hallelujah. If you want peace tonight, if you don't have joy tonight, you might belong to church, but you're not serving God. See, the Bible said God is a spirit. I serve God with my spirit. I must yield my spirit unto God. I must worship God, the Spirit of holiness, with my spirit. If you want peace, then let that spirit go out to God. Hallelujah. What joy unspeakable and full of glory. What joy, what peace. Hallelujah. What glory unspeakable. Hallelujah. I feel the mighty Holy Ghost. Glory to God. I feel His presence. I feel that Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. How sweet, how wonderful, how glorious it is to feel His lovely presence. Let God have His way tonight. Turn that faith loose that you're holding in your heart tonight. Don't smother it out. Just turn it over to God. Start leaning out on God, resting in God. Let it go. Did you know a lot of people got a hold of their faith and they won't turn it over to God? They're holding it back with their human reasoning. Always trying to reason it out, work it out, educate it out. But the Bible said, lean not to your own understanding. You're never going to figure it out like that. But just let that faith go out to God. Be a fool for Christ. Turn your faith loose in God tonight. And dare to believe Him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and body. And watch and see if the joy of the Lord don't come into your heart. Hallelujah. You know, it's here in the Carolinas. A number of years ago, here in the Carolinas, a great revival broke out. Isn't that right? A great revival broke out. You ever read the history of the Carolinas? A great revival broke out through the Carolinas. And brother, there were so many people, hundreds of thousands of people. No tent couldn't hold them. No building couldn't hold them. Hundreds of thousands of people began to come. And they began to come in every form, every fashion. Sleeping in tents, sleeping on the ground, sleeping in buckboards, sleeping anyway. There were so many people that not one, two, nor ten preachers could preach to them. And they had to set up little places among the huge multitude. And preachers began to preach to them. Hundreds of preachers spread out and began to feed the hungry multitude. You say, where did that take place, Brother Pike? That took place in the great Carolinas. As in heaven, so in earth. Carolinas is typical of heaven. Up here, there's things that have to break out and spread around the world. Did you know that? Did you know before the gold rush ever come in California, they came through that eastern gate? Did you know they come through the eastern part of the world and set up the civilization of this country and then spread to the west? Isn't that right? Glory to God. Let's give them something from the Carolinas and give them something from the eastern part of the world that'll sweep over it and do away with everything that's unlike God. Hallelujah. Until the great revivals of the living God roll and blow like the winds and sweep over the world. Hallelujah. Until preachers is preaching the gospel like a flame of fire, like a great tidal wave that sweeps over the frontiers of God. Hallelujah. Don't you love Him tonight? Don't you love Him tonight? Don't you love Him tonight? Hallelujah. Praise God. Come right around here, brother, would you? Don't you love Him tonight? Glory to God. Let's love Him tonight. Let's lift up our hands and love Him tonight. Hallelujah. Don't you love Jesus? You still love Him? You believe God will give you strength? You believe you can quit all of that?
I hope so. I hope so. I ain't nothing but a drunken bum.
But Jesus will give you power over that. Did you know that? Bible said through Christ that strengthens me, I can do all things. Now you can't do it within your own self. The flesh is weak. But see, the Bible said through Jesus it strengthens me. Wouldn't you like to trust in Him for a while? You've done trusted in you and it failed. But wouldn't you like to trust in Him? Let's place our confidence in Him and see if He'll do it. Lift your hands with me, will you? Let's lift our hands up tonight, will you? Father, tonight in the name of Jesus, I command the strength and devil to leave this man in Jesus' name. Satan, I adjure thee by the living God, by the spilled blood of Calvary, to turn this vessel loose and to come out of it. Heal this body, heal this mind. Bring the Spirit, God, the power for deliverance. Hallelujah. I feel you doing it right now. Save the soul, Jesus. I feel you doing it. Hallelujah. Brother, I feel Him doing something for you. I feel Him saving his soul. Hallelujah. Help him to believe, Jesus. Don't you feel that? Can't you feel that tonight? I feel His presence tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How wonderful. How wonderful. Praise God. Come right up here, my brother, will you? Praise God. Let's lift our hands up, will you? Father. Hallelujah. Father, heal tonight. Forgive tonight. Oh God, I see deep scars
Sorrow and heartaches and woes. Mandramashira barandrama sira marandrabo shaya. Uramandriantaraba shira barandrabo saya. Yea, and I shall make thee to lie down in green pastures. I will lead thee beside the still waters. I will restore thy soul. I shall lift thee up, and I shall lead thee in the green pastures. Yea, and I shall feed thee with the wonderful heritage of Jacob. Thou shalt drink from the cistern of God, and thy belly shall give forth living water, and the thirsty shall drink. For out of thine innermost being shall flow my rivers of living water, yea, and a pathway shall be made for thee, yea, and thou shalt not be in the shadows anymore, but thou shalt be in the presence of God, and the Lord shall order thy steps aright, for all of his paths are peace. Hallelujah. If thou canst believe, Jesus said, hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. A night or two ago, we had some people up here, and the word of prophecy was coming forth. And I was a young man that stepped over on the right here, and I began to speak to him in the name of the Lord with the word of prophecy. And he come back to me today, and he said, Brother Pike, it was God. He said, my wife, myself, and my teacher, where I'm going to school, said we were just discussing the very same thing. He said, the things that you told me when I spoke to him and told him about the work that God had ordained for him to do here, and that he should quit listening at the voices that had turned him away from his ordination in the earth to do God's work. And he said, Brother Pike, I preached for 6 years and listened to voices and turned away from those things and went the other way and said, I want to talk to you. Said, the words that you gave me was from God. And said, I want to do something about it. I want help. I want to do something about it. Jesus wants to help you, Christian friend. Hallelujah. Jesus wants to help you. A lot of times God has spoken to you. A lot of times God has told you something. A lot of times God has ordered your steps according to your heart. But you won't obey him. But when you come by, a lot of times a minister will give you a word of revelation or knowledge or wisdom or prophecy to confirm what God's already told you, so that you will realize it's God and take it in the mouth of two or three witnesses and go and do the thing that Christ has told you. You love Jesus? Did you know God gave a charge to Gideon, didn't he? He gave a charge to Gideon. He told Gideon what to do. Gideon didn't need another word. He's already told him what to do. But Gideon, being in unbelief, had to have some kind of proof, didn't he? My advice to you is when God tells you, go and do it. Don't do like Balaam. Balaam played around and finally got the mind and will of God in favor with what he was doing, so he thought. But he come to find out God wasn't in favor with it. God just gave him another word of prophecy and said, go on, Balaam. Seeing that he wasn't going to obey the word anyway. That's how people get mixed up in so many marriages, get mixed up in situations of the world. That's how they compromise and get into these great things that they think they're doing to please God. God gives them the word and they don't listen to the word, and finally God will just say, go on, Balaam, because they worry him so much. And then they think everything's all right when the angel's waiting with a drawn sword to cut their head off, so to speak. You love Jesus? You love Jesus? All right, mine. God said to Gideon, go on and do it, Gideon. Oh, Brother Gideon said, I'm going to put out a fleece. I'm going to put out a fleece. You know what a fleece is? It's a piece of wool. Gideon said, I'm going to give me a piece of wool. I'm going to put out a fleece. And he wanted to lay it out, you know. And he said, now this God speaking to me, let it rain all around this fleece. Don't let none of it get on the fleece. And so it happened. Old Gideon was still doubtful, so he said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to put out another fleece. I'm going to put it out this time, let it rain on the fleece and don't rain nowhere else. Isn't that right? And before God could ever get Gideon to get on down there and do his job, God had to give him a dream down there and give the enemy a dream and get them all tore up down there so Gideon could go ahead and defeat him. Why do you have to put out a fleece? If God's word said it, why can't we take God's word? Isn't that good enough? Isn't that God's word? Isn't that good enough? If the banker told you tonight it's going to lend you $10,000, would you have to put out a fleece to be able to believe it? Why put out a fleece to believe what God said? Fleeces are a cause of unbelief.
Take God's word, find God's will, and obey it. Come on, folks. Let's believe God. Let's believe God, can we? Lift your hands again, will you? Let's worship Him just a few more minutes for tonight, will you? I'm looking forward to tomorrow night's service and the next night's service. But I want to be blessed in tonight's service, hallelujah. Some of you might be missing tomorrow night. You might be dead. Let's enjoy Him while we can. Let's make our vows unto God while we can. Let's make our promises unto God while we can. Let's make our commitments unto God while we can. Like the song said, I think I'll praise the Lord just while I have a chance, because I may not have a chance anymore. I think I'll testify just while I have a chance, because I may not have a chance anymore. Now is the day of salvation. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A man was telling me today, and he was just as honest as he could be. He said, Brother Pine, said a man told me that God would deliver me from smoking at his own time. He said when God got ready, He would take this away from me. Let me tell you something, God's been ready. God didn't want you to do it to start with. God wants you to resist the devil, and the devil will flee from you. If you mess around waiting for God to take it away from you, God won't never take it away from you. Hallelujah. God, Jesus Christ, died to save us from sin. But He tells us to put away the filth of the flesh. Isn't that right? If there's something wrong with you, He said, you draw nigh to God, you resist the devil, and the devil will flee from you. You keep waiting around for God to take it away from you, and the first news you know, you'll be in a hole. That's just like me. I could say to Sister Betty, I say, Sister Betty, I don't think I'm going to preach. I think I'm just going to wait till God gets ready. Isn't that right? But let me tell you something, God's already ready for me to preach the gospel. Somebody said, I'm going to wait and get saved when God's ready. The Bible said, today is the day of salvation. Now's the accepted time. Hallelujah. Right now's the time to praise God. Now's the time to get saved. Now's the time to look to God. Hallelujah. At this hour and this time. This is the time to do it. Don't keep waiting. Today's the day to do it. Now's the time to do it. Hallelujah. Everybody's waiting for God to do something, and God's waiting for them to do something. Is that right? The Bible said, draw nigh to God and God will draw nigh to you. You got to draw nigh to God before God will draw nigh to you. Jesus took the first step. He spilt the blood at Calvary, came to seek and to save you. Now it's up to you to draw nigh to God. It's up to you to put away the filth of the flesh. Hallelujah. Let's just lift our hands and love Him, can you? I want to pray for you tonight. If you're sick, if you're suffering, if you're lost and undone without God, if you need help, believe the preacher tonight. Don't believe your own thoughts tonight. Don't look to your own understanding tonight. Don't take some petty idea. Don't take some feeling. Don't take something that somebody told you. But take the word of God for it. Take the word of God for it. Take the mind of Christ for it. Don't listen to your own understanding. But take God's word for it. And beloved friend, God will help you. God will strengthen you. You'll find yourself doing what God's called you to do, spiritually, naturally, and physically. And the Bible said, believe my prophets and prosper. You believe the man of God and you'll prosper. The Bible teaches that if you love riches and honor in life, all you got to do is have humility and fear of God. And you'll have riches and you'll have honor and you'll have life. Hallelujah. God will give every bit up to you, temporal and eternal. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and love Him, can we? Father of heaven tonight, in the name of Jesus, the name of your Son tonight, Father, I want you to touch these people. I want you to look down on them, Jesus. Father, you said whatever I ask in your name, you would do it. You said whoever I bless would be blessed. Whoever I curse would be cursed. Father, tonight in the name of Jesus, I bless these people. Father, these people have received me. These people have received you. You said they receive Him that you sent. They've received you, Father. And these people have received me. I want healing for their body. I want salvation for their soul. I want deliverance, God. I want freedom. I want peace and joy. I want them to be blessed. Blessed. Blessed of the living God. I bless them in the name of Jesus. I ask you to do it in the wonderful name of your loving Son tonight, Jesus. Hallelujah. Brother Teddy.